Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. A great program this morning. Mark Schultz joins us to talk about his upcoming concerts for The Gift of Hope. He's a wonderful performer and an interesting person to talk to, too, so I hope you'll stick around for that conversation. Gene Young is going to have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading. Father Tim Smith with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable people of all. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Sacred Heart Monastery's Mission Committee recently collected non-perishable food items and toiletries for the contact center in Yankton to help the center make a difference. Sisters Mary Beth Wedsleff, Marita Kirkfleet, Patricia Herrigs, Catherine Burt, Marita Kolbeg, and Sharon Ann Hodge joined novice Teresa McGinn and Contact Center employees Kevin McDonald and Barbara Hermanic Peck in that effort. You can read and see more about the activity in the February edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, a group of city commissioners in the border city of McAllen, Texas, voted in mid-February to remove from a building a popular Catholic-administered center run by Sister Norma Pimentel, who has been praised by Pope Francis for her work with migrants. McAllen, Texas City Commissioners voted to vacate within 90 days the building that Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley uses to provide temporary shelter for immigrants who cross from Mexico into the United States, but who also have been released by federal authorities. Sister Pimentel, who has won national and international praise for the type of work that takes place at the center, is the executive director for the charitable agency that runs the temporary shelter, which provides food, clothing, a shower, and other necessities for migrant children and adults, that is, passing through the city in the Diocese of Brownsville, Texas. Residents were complaining to city commissioners about activity in their neighborhood that they said was coming from what's known as the Respite Center, which began occupying the space in December. That according to a February 11th story by a local newspaper, The Monitor. But Sister Pimentel, according to the report, said during a meeting to discuss the issue that the families the shelter helps are receiving services inside the building. They don't go wandering around, she said, according to that newspaper account. Fathers and mothers have the ability and responsibility to lead their families to holiness, wrote Phoenix Bishop Thomas J. Olmsted in an apostolic exhortation. The title of the document, Complete My Joy, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, when the apostle challenges the reader to make my joy complete. Over these past 50 years, countless faithful Catholics have surely attained the goal of their lives, eternal salvation, Bishop Olmsted wrote in his introduction. Credit here is due to the rich mercy of God, to the dedicated priests and religious who have served our diocese so well, and to you and the many faithful families who have lived and continue to live your vocations with generosity and even at times heroism, he said. The bishop promulgated the apostolic exhortation as part of the Diocese of Phoenix's 50th anniversary jubilee year of the family. The openness to people of other faiths that Pope Francis modeled during his recent visit to the United Arab Emirates has been embraced for more than 20 years at a weekly luncheon shared by Muslims, Catholics, and other Christians at Shapiro's Delicatessen in Indianapolis, Indiana. John Welch, a longtime member of the St. Joan of Arc Parish in Indianapolis, helped start the lunch meetings in 1997. It's the presence of Jesus in our midst, Welch told the Criterion, the newspaper for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Over the years, Welch and those sharing lunch in their lives together at Shapiro's have included members of the Italy-based Catholic lay movement, Focolare, members of the Nur Allah Islamic Center in Indianapolis, as well as Protestant clergy in the city. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Thanks for ending on an encouraging note there, Gene. Appreciate that. Let's move on to our interview with Mark Schultz. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Mark Schultz. So happy that Mark is coming back to perform once again for the Gift of Hope concert coming up March 23rd at the O'Gorman Performing Arts Center. Mark, thanks for taking time to talk to us this morning.
Thank you, man. Glad to be back. And I had such a great time last time. I was like honored to be invited back. So I'm really looking forward to it.
We have this little kind of personal connection to you through a friend of yours that goes back a long way, Tim Dardis, who's one of our committee members for the Gift of Hope. And I know he's a friend of yours from back in Up With People days, right?
Yeah, he was in Up With People, and that's been such a neat connection to have. And so we always have plenty to talk about when I come to town. And matter of fact, I just got a text from him this morning. I think at 4:30 this morning, my phone text went up, and I thought, Tim, what are you doing up so early? But I just now texted him back at a reasonable hour. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him again as well.
Well, I think part of what is so appealing to you for the folks that come to the concerts, to the Gift of Hope concert, is there's something about your songs that have sort of a personal connection and a strong feeling of hope. And of course, that's what this benefits, these shows benefit Catholic Family Services. And the theme is the gift of hope. And I think that's why it resonates so well with people.
I think so. You know, what I noticed the last time I was there is the songs that I chose for the concert, I didn't really realize it, but afterwards the committee came back and they said, you know what, all the different missions that we do, you had a song for each one of those. And, man, it was pretty cool. I didn't think about that. What I usually try to do is just think about things and, you know, real life things that I experience, and then I write songs about those things. And, so I think people can see themselves and see those situations that are real life. It's not just writing a song about, you know, something that just would sound good on the radio, but it's really writing about real life. And I think when you do that, it resonates with people deeply. And so hopefully I'll pick some songs that will do the same kind of thing this time around.
Well, we look forward to it. Again, the concert with Mark Schultz, March 23rd, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the O'Gorman Performing Arts Center. You can get tickets at ccfesd.org. You can call 605-988-3765. You can also get them at any of the area Hy-Vee stores in the Sioux Falls area. We'll give that information again when we get to towards the end of our conversation this morning. Mark, the last time you were here, one of the things you talked about, and it is one of the ministries of Catholic Family Services, is adoption. And you were in the midst of beginning an adoption process then. Where are we at?
Yeah, so funny enough, we adopted from China through an organization called Catholic Charities here in Nashville. And, man, it was an unbelievable experience. Just really great. And so we ended up going to China and adopting Maya May, who's now 2.5 years old. She's the, she's the most outgoing member of our family. And, man, she's so awesome. I can't imagine life without her. And so she said, hey, I want a little sister. And so I was adopted from Kansas. And last year, well, just right before Christmas, we went to Kansas and adopted another little girl from Kansas. So I always tell people we've adopted two kids from foreign countries, China and Kansas. And so when I was there last time, we were getting ready to adopt one, and now I'm coming back. We've got two adopted girls. So, man, I couldn't be any happier. They're just the greatest gifts in the world.
You know, that's a real testament to the gift, if you will, of adoption. And I know in our culture that's still, maybe people have a hard time seeing that, but boy, you're living it, aren't you?
Well, you know what? Somebody texted me the other day and they said, man, thank you for living out the gospel. What you're doing is really, you're just really living it out. But you know what? It's interesting. I think when you're living out the gospel, it doesn't feel that way, because I feel like, you know, I would have thought what it would feel like is, hey, we're really doing something special for somebody. Man, I just think whenever you take one step close, take a step close to an orphan, you get closer to the heart of God. And so it feels like we've given 10% and got 150 back. I mean, these girls that we've got are unbelievable. I mean, I just think about it today. It chokes me up. I was sleeping this morning because Tim Dardis woke me up at 4:30 in the morning. But anyway, I was still in bed, and Maya May, our little girl from China, was up, and she crawls up in the bed. And I've got two boys, two bioelectrical boys. If they crawl up in the bed with you, you guard yourself, because you might get your teeth knocked out, because they're just all elbows and, you know, wild and crazy. And Maya May jumps up in the bed, and she crawls up, and she puts her head right next to mine on the pillow, and she goes, "Hi, Daddy." Oh, man. And I think I'm the luckiest guy in the world. And so that doesn't feel like following the gospel or living out the gospel. That just feels like being in love with your daughter to me.
It's a great lesson, though, about what the gospel is really about, I think, and appreciate you sharing it. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. The thing about the Catholic Family Services, it's certainly adoption, but it's also the other two primary missions, adoption and pregnancy counseling being one of them. The other one is just general counseling for people who are struggling with life in some fashion. And then the Grief and Loss Center, which approaches all kinds of things that, that touch our lives, the things that happen in life that often bring us pain, that bring us loss or grief. And we got to figure out how to deal with that. And there's so many of your songs, Mark, that I think do that. Again, I don't know if that's if that's an intentional topic for you, or if, as you said, it kind of something moves your heart and you decide to write about it.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think, you know, I was a youth director for about 10 years, and I always thought I never meant to be, but I lost a bet to a youth minister and ended up staying for 10 years. So I just kind of wrote what I saw God doing in the life of the kids. And then a couple of years ago, I helped out through a project through our church to help men who were having, you know, trouble keeping jobs and through it because they had addiction and some other problems. And I got paired up with a guy who was really struggling, but he didn't care a thing about God. But the more he listened to my songs, the more he got into it. And I wrote a song for him, called No Place Love Won't Go. And it's kind of what you're talking about now, that, through Catholic Charities to be able to have a place to go when you have no hope. Like he was in that situation, and then to really understand that, oh man, I'm being really, God is coming after me in a way that you can't stop love. And when love knocks down the door, love comes straight for you. And that was such an encouraging message for him to hear that I wrote a song about it. And so I just kind of, you know, say what happens in those challenging situations if you just open the door just a smidge for God to walk through. And when you do that, man, hope just blows through the door and changes things.
You know, one of the things I pray about, Mark, is you know, the family members who maybe aren't living the faith right now, and mm-hmm. and that I don't need to know exactly how God's working in their life, but that God is working in their life some way. And I think that's part of what you're talking about. That sometimes your music is doing that. You don't know it. Maybe the person doesn't even know it, but God knows it.
Yeah, it was so interesting. I just got a message today from a guy through Facebook Messenger. I'm learning how to do it. I'm like, man, I wish I was 19 years old and I could be really good at that. But anyway, I got a message, and the guy probably sent it last year sometime. But he said, you know, I wasn't a Christian, but my kids would play a song that I wrote a while ago. It's called "You Are a Child of Mine." And he said, my kids used to play that in the car all the time. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't believe in God at all. And he said, I probably heard that song, 500 times. And we've gone through some struggle in our family. And just one day they had that song playing, and it hit me in just a way where just tears ran down my face. And I realized, man, I've been running my whole life from that message, and committed himself to God. And it's just like you say, sometimes you just have to hear the message over and over and over again. And sometimes it's not even hearing the message. Sometimes it's just benefiting from people who are loving you extravagantly, like God loved you. And then you realize, oh man, that's great. That's unbelievable. And that's what God offers. And so, sometimes it's hearing the message, and sometimes it's just seeing people live that out in front of you that gets your attention.
So when you are approaching a song, when you get an idea, walk us through that a little bit. Are you doing melody first? Are you doing words first? How does that happen for you?
Man, I wish I knew. I don't know. I write all my songs at a chapel where I was a youth director, and there's a grand piano in there, and I just, you know, Amy Grant had a song that is called "If These Walls Could Speak," and it's just everything that this church had seen: all the weddings, all the funerals, all the, you know, the worship services, all the hurt and all the celebrations just get, you know, sort of soaked up into the walls of this church. And when I go in there, I sit down and I'll have no idea what I'm going to write a song about, and I'll just start playing the piano, and all of a sudden a melody will come into mind, and I'll just start singing it. And then all of a sudden I'll say a phrase of something. I'll be like, oh my gosh, what was that? And I'll just kind of mess with it a little bit and keep playing it. And usually I say, man, the songs are already there. I'm just kind of chipping away at what doesn't belong. And it's happened for, I guess the last 18 years. Any song that you've heard of mine on the radio has been written in that chapel on that piano. And this is where I feel like if there was a fishing hole, like everybody talks about, hey, when I go fishing, this is my favorite place to go fishing. Every time I go there, songs just happen to show up, you know. And there was this songs like "He's My Son" that was written in there, and it just kind of came out all at once. And I remember a lady called and she said, "Listen, when we don't have the words to pray, we just put on your song because that song prays it for us." And so for me, it's just such an honor because I feel like something more powerful and bigger than me is happening in that room when I'm writing songs.
You know, that particular song you just mentioned, "He's My Son," there's a line in there that says, can you hear me? And I think every person on earth has probably asked that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. It's a very real song. You know, I wrote it for a little boy who had cancer, and his dad was a Sunday school teacher, and we would have lunch every Wednesday, and he would just read me out of his, his notes that he would take during the week. And it was just very real. I mean, it wasn't an idea of what would you do if your son had cancer. It was, my son has cancer, and this is what I live through every day. And I think that was a common thing for him to think, God, this is getting really real now. This is my son, and I would do anything. I would trade places with him right now if I could to take away his hurt and pain. And then you think, and I didn't plan on doing this, but you make the parallel between God saying, back to the world, can you hear me, Jesus? I mean, this is Jesus. He's my son. And so that song plays on a couple different levels.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a beautiful song and a meaningful, deep meaning. My wife is a musician and ends up doing a lot of weddings. And she mentioned to me that the song 1,000 Miles, she said, I'm curious if Mark wrote that song as a wedding song, because I don't think he did, but boy, it gets used for a lot of weddings.
You know what's so funny about that song? My wife and I had just gotten married, and we were living in a small house, and you know what I'm doing right now? I'm taking out the trash.
All right.
We've got the trash guy just showed up, and I just realized I hadn't planned on that.
That's what dads do. You multitask, right?
That's exactly right. I'm taking out the trash while I do an interview. How are you? And so my wife and I had just gotten married, and we lived in a small house, and she was in residency, and she was, you know, getting up at all hours of the night. And I was playing, trying to write a record, and she could hear me upstairs. And so she said, is there any way you can play quieter? So I thought, well, I better write a slow song. So I wrote that one, and I loved it. And then she had to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, about the time Tim Dardis likes to email people. And, or text people. And I put it on the computer, and I left a note that I said with an arrow pointing, like, hit the return button when you come downstairs after you, you know, wake up. And it was going to be a nice surprise for her. Like, hey, I wrote you a love song. And, the next day when I saw her, when she came back from, she didn't mention anything about it. And I said, hey, did you like your song last night or this morning? And she said, oh yeah, I love you too. And I was like, you too. And I went back and looked, and she hit the wrong button, and it played a U2 song, It's a Beautiful Day. And so I'm still not sure she's ever heard my song that I wrote for. But it's so funny how those songs are born and the stories behind those songs. But that was, yeah, you're right. That's a big song at weddings, and it was just written as a song that I could write while my wife was sleeping, so I didn't wake her up.
So one of the things I notice as I go back and listen to your music is there's a lot of use of harmony in your songs as well. Now, when you're writing it, is that you hearing all that in your head as well?
I don't think so. I think I'm just a melodical kind of person. Like, I just love music. In school, I used to, you know, I was in high school. I used to get a pink slip to, you know, leave the classroom to go to the bathroom or whatever, and I would go down to the music room and try to get a lesson from the music teacher, you know, because I just loved it so much. But I just love melodies so much, and so when we get into do a record, I sing the song, and they're like, well, you want to put harmonies on this? And I'm like, okay, maybe one harmony. And then next thing we know, there's 400 tracks, and you know, 200 of them are me singing harmonies all over the record. So it's just something that I love to do. And it just seems to, you know, it seems to lift the track when there's a bunch of good harmonies on it. It kind of gives it energy. And Child of Mine, the song You're a Child of Mine, is a great example of that. The first time we put all the harmonies on that, I was driving in Nashville, and I stopped at a stoplight, and the chorus came on, and it was like, you are a child of mine, with all the harmonies, and just tears ran down my face at the stoplight. I still remember just sitting there going, I cannot believe how good that sounds. And it was because the producer was so good at mixing all those together. But that's a neat that you recognize that.
Well, and that you have a melody that allows it. Not all melodies allow that to happen. I mean, in my limited musical ability to know, but that you have a melody that allows those kind of harmonies, I think is where you got to start, right?
Yeah, I think I grew up with groups like Boston and you know, I'm Sailing Away, all those, you know,
Sticks.
In the 80s and so Sticks, that's how I learned how to sing Don't Stop Believing. And so you know, all those songs from the 80s just kind of had those humongous choruses you can just drive a truck through. So I think that's probably where all that comes from.
One of the things you're going to do at the concerts coming up again, March 23rd in Sioux Falls at the O'Gorman Performing Arts Center, two shows, 3 and 7 p.m. But one of the things you're going to do again this year is have some kids come up and help you with a couple of songs. We love that. Kids from our Catholic schools across the eastern South Dakota, across the diocese, come together and get to be with you for a couple of your songs. I know one of them that you're going to do is Love Has Come, which I think is just such a powerful song. And a beautiful opportunity for the kids to participate.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, that was a highlight last time. that we did the shows was to see them sing, because they, you know, and the parents are there. I mean, it's just, everything about it is great. And you know, there's something kind of awesome about seeing kids sing a song of hope that's a powerful song of hope. And, the folks in the auditorium are standing up, singing along. And there's just something, I don't know, there's something beautiful about that. And I'm always honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's great. So we've talked about a number of your songs this morning. I had a whole list of songs, Mark, that I was hoping we'd get a chance to talk about. And we've talked about a number of them, but another one is Back in His Arms. It's just another really moving song. Before You Call Me Home, God of Glory, I Am. I mean, the list goes on. People might be surprised until they stop and go back and look. You've had a lot of really popular and powerful songs in your career.
Yeah, I'm grateful for it. I think there's 10 number ones in there somewhere, or somebody has said. And I love playing them, and I only write the ones that I'm passionate about. And so there aren't songs that I still play that people go, how do you keep playing that? Man, if I don't love it, I just don't play it. And so I've just been really grateful to have songs that mean things, and I'm continuing to write songs, and so I'll do a lot of new ones. And for this concert, since I was there a couple of years ago, I'll be doing some different songs as well that night as well, just to mix it up a little bit. And hopefully those songs will be as impactful as the ones that were played 2 years ago.
Well, I can't tell you how much we're looking forward to it, to having you back. Mark Schultz coming again March 23rd. Shows at 3 and 7 p.m. at the Gorman Performing Arts Center. Tickets available at ccfesd.org, or you can call 605-988-3765, or you can get them at area Hy-Vee stores. Mark, any last words for us as we wrap up this morning?
I'm just excited. It was an awesome place to do shows like 2 years ago, and I'm a big fan of Sioux Falls and the people that are there. And like, I grew up in the Midwest, so I always say when I come to do a concert, you know, if we're going to California and we do the concert there, and then we come back to the Midwest, like in Sioux Falls, I go, oh, these are my people. I don't know what we were doing in California. They were different than me. But the Midwest, that's my bread and butter, and people really seem to enjoy the songs and the stories behind the songs. So it feels like coming home for me, and I'm excited to come back.
Amen. We'll leave it there. Thanks again, Mark.
Thank you. Take care.
Gene, it's always interesting to talk to somebody like Mark Schultz, because you know, we think of them in a sense as bigger than life, but boy, what a down-to-earth guy, really fun to talk to.
He's a great performer, and he's been here before.
He has, and I get excited because he's excited to come back. I think it's going to be fantastic shows.
So it's a great opportunity. People need to pay attention and put it on their calendar.
And the fact that it benefits Catholic Family Services Gift of Hope Fund, man, it's a great combination.
Good. It's a win-win-win.
Yeah, it really is. So I hope people will get out and get their tickets. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back next Sunday.